Omagyanati manandasya gananjana salakaya chaksur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So thank you all for coming. Today we're celebrating the auspicious lifting of Govardhan Hill. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It explains that as all of Krishna's pastimes have some special significance, so this pastime of Krishna is specifically meant to show us that there is no need to worship anyone else except for Krishna. One of the offenses against the holy name is to consider the names of the demigods, such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Of course, in this age of Kali Yuga, generally people don't have a problem with that offense because they don't believe in Brahma, they don't believe in Shiva, and they don't believe in Vishnu. So for them, whether Vishnu is superior to Brahma or Shiva makes no difference because they don't believe that any of those personalities exist. And what to speak of Indra. Instead of worshiping some demigod, people are worshiping the person in the bank who gives the loan. They go with folded hands, fall down at his feet, and say, "I'm your submissive servant, please give me a loan." So though people are not worshiping demigods, they're worshiping personalities much inferior to any demigod. In any case, just like in this building here, we have light, we have heat, we have water, we have so many different types of resources being supplied to us, and all of us know that these resources do not come out of nowhere, that there is an arrangement made for the water to be delivered, there's an arrangement made for the electricity to be delivered, there's an arrangement made for the gas, and everything else to be delivered. So similarly in the universe, there's also an arrangement made for all these energies to be delivered. Otherwise, how is it that they are being supplied to us in the exact amount that's necessary to sustain our existence on this planet? For instance, Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita, he says, Yatschaksha esha savita sakala grahanam rajasamasa suramurte sheshiteja yasyagaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro govindam adi purushang tamahang bhajami. He's worshipping Govinda not because he has nothing else to do, not because there was no internet or television. There is nothing on the movie, so he decided to worship Govinda to pass the time away. There is a reason why he's worshiping Govinda, because Govinda, the sun which is in the orbit, just like every morning the sun that we see arises at an appointed time, and in the evening the sun sets at an appointed time. Indeed, there are even tables, I can tell you exactly what time here in Los Angeles or any place on this planet, what time the sun will rise and what time it will set within hundreds of years. Now the sun's coming up every day exactly the same time. We ourselves don't get up out of bed exactly at the same time every day. So who's more intelligent, the sun or ourselves? We don't find one day the sun was traveling around the universe and it was a very difficult day and it decided to sleep in for an extra hour or two. Therefore, there is some amazing arrangement. For instance, we have a watch and the watch tells us at what time it is at this particular moment. But the sun, the clock is simply a indication of the movements of the sun, because generally it takes around 24 hours for the sun to arise and set. Therefore, the clock is simply our imperfect way of measuring the movement of the sun. Now, if someone made the clock which is imperfect, will only last maybe 100 years or so, maybe a little longer, who has made the sun, which is not only moving exactly in an orbit, but is also giving us unlimited heat and light since time immemorial. If you take a cow, or sometimes they take a bull in India, and they attach the bull by its nose to a pole, so that the bull in the back is carrying, or in the back of the bull, is a very heavy weight that the bull is dragging. And by dragging that heavy weight in the circle, it's able to crush grains. Now, although this bull is so powerful that it would take dozens of men to drag the same weight, still, in spite of being so powerful, the bull cannot move one inch beyond the rope. Similarly, the sun is so powerful, is giving off unlimited heat and light since time immemorial, and still it cannot move one inch beyond its orbit. So therefore, Lord Brahma is glorifying Govinda, who has made this wonderful arrangement. But although the sun is powerful, although there are so many powerful personalities in this universe who are supplying us with the necessities of life, still Krishna wanted to show that there's no need to worship such persons if one is engaged in his worship. So just after the wives of the Jagat Brahmins had returned to their homes, there is a previous story where the Jagat Brahmins, those who were performing sacrifice, were asked for some food from the cowherd boys to give to Krishna and Balaram. But these Brahmins refused, thinking that Krishna and Balaram were just ordinary personalities, and therefore there was no need to give them any food. Later they repented when they realized that Krishna and Balaram were actually the original personalities whom everyone is supposed to worship. Now, not only these Brahmins who were performing sacrifice, they mistook Krishna for an ordinary person, but now we'll find out that even great personalities such as Lord Indra, who controls all the clouds in the universe, he also mistook Krishna for just being an ordinary little boy. So as it is, Krishna was sitting there, and he noticed that there was a big arrangement being made for a sacrifice. So he inquired from his father, Nanda Maharaj, "My dear Nanda Maharaj, what is this sacrifice for? Why are you arranging it? Who is it arranged for? And please tell me." But Nanda Maharaj, he thought, this little boy is only 7 years old. What will he understand about an elaborate sacrifice? So he didn't say anything. So Krishna told his father, "My dear father, you're not telling me anything as if I'm some kind of outsider, but I'm your relative. And therefore, if you're a relative, nothing should be hidden." His father said, "All right, I'll tell you. Don't tell anyone else." We're making this sacrifice to worship Indra because Indra is supplying the rain, and because we're Vaishyas, we need rain to maintain our fields, because from what we grow, we're able to feed our cows. Therefore, we worship him every year. So Krishna said, "Well, why are you worshiping Indra? It's just a waste of time." So Krishna began to explain the karma amongst a philosophy. Karma amongst a philosophy is basically an atheistic philosophy. So it's quite unusual that God himself has come to this planet and he's preaching atheism. Krishna is very tricky. In any case, he started to explain the karma amongst the philosophy, which means that if you simply do your duty, then you'll get the result. The demigods who are in charge of the universe, according to karma amongst the philosophy, and even if there's a supreme God, a supreme Ishvara, still, if you do your duty, they're obliged to give you the result. That's why it's called karma amongst them. And if you don't do your duty, even they want to give you the result, they won't be able to. So Krishna said, "Why worship Indra? Just do your duty, and everything else will come. And even if you worship Indra, what's the use? Indra is already supplying water everywhere. Even he's supplying water in the ocean. And the ocean is not worshiping Indra, but he supplies water there anyhow. Nanda Maharaj heard this, and he thought, well, that makes sense. Why should we worship Indra? All right. What do you suggest? Well, I suggest, Krishna said, because we're Vaishyas, Vaishyas meaning agriculturalists, everyone has their duty. There, in the Vedic culture at least, there were Brahmins, those who are learned persons, those who are Kshatriyas, who are administrators, who protect the society. Nanda Maharaj and the coward men were part of the Vaishya community, who were principally engaged in cow protection and growing food. In the Vedic culture, there were also cities, but more important than the cities, as Krishna showed, were the places where food were grown. For instance, here we have this big city called Los Angeles, but if you cut off the food, you won't have a big city like Los Angeles anymore. Food is the most basic necessity. You may stop the input of iPods or iPads, or videos, or dresses and shoes, and the city may go on. But if you stop the supply of food, then very shortly the city will close up. So actually, everyone depends upon food grains. Anad bhavati bhutani, parjana ana sambhava, jagna bhavati parjanyo jagna karma samudbhava. That all living entities, they subsist on food grains, and food grains come from rain. And rain comes from the performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice is born of one's prescribed duties. Prescribed duties come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice, specifically for Krishna or Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna said, don't bother with Indra. Actually, we're Vaishyas, we should worship Brahmins, or we should worship Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill. So let us immediately arrange a sacrifice, and in that sacrifice, we'll worship Govardhan Hill and the Brahmins. So Nanda Maharaj inquired, how will we arrange the sacrifice? And Krishna said, prepare different types of foodstuff, such as chapatis and rice, and dal, didn't mention pizza, but I guess nowadays he probably would, if he came back, he would have mentioned that for sure. And also all kinds of different milk products, such as sweet rice, rubbery, sandesh, rascals, and then to the different personalities, especially first to the Brahmins, first to the Brahmins, and then to the rest of the society. Distribute it to everyone, the Brahmins, the Chandalas, that is the dog eaters, and even the dogs. Everyone should get some prasadam. So Nanda Maharaj said, all right, we'll arrange that sacrifice, but let's first perform Indra Puja. Indra, worship of Indra. So Krishna said, no, let's not delay. Use all the paraphernalia that you arranged for the Indra sacrifice, and then let us use it for the Govardhan Puj. So Nanda Maharaj said, all right, let's do that. So they arranged to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. All the gopis nicely and the cowherd men were nicely decorated. And the Brahmins were in front with the cows. And they circumambulated Govardhan Hill, which was a huge hill. I think it's 5 hours at least to circumambulate the hill. And at that time, the hill was much larger than it is now. It said that the hill is sinking gradually. And then they offered their prasad to Govardhan Hill. And Krishna manifested himself in a separate form as Govardhan Hill and ate all the prasad. It was a lot of prasad. And then he said, Anior, 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 give me more. So they got all their stock, everything that they had. They offered it to Govardhan, and he said, Anior, Anior, give me more. So he had a mountain of sweet rice, or a lake of sweet rice, and all kinds of grains, and he ate it all. And then finally they offered him one tulsi leaf, and he was satisfied. Then, at this time, Indra, he noticed that his sacrifice was stopped, and Indra became infuriated. And he said, how dare these residents of Vrindavan stop my sacrifice? Just on the basis of this little boy who's talkative and childish and doesn't know the actual situation of the cosmic manifestation. I will have to punish the residents of Vrindavan and destroy their cows and their livelihood. So therefore he called for the Sambhataraka cloud, the cloud which is used to devastate the whole universe, inundated at the time of dissolution, and told the cloud, along with his companion clouds, to go and devastate Vrindavan. So they were a little afraid. They knew better than Indra did that this little boy was not just an ordinary little boy. After all, he did a few things before that they had noticed. Killed a witch 27 kilometers. So they thought, well, this is not an ordinary little boy. Maybe he has a few tricks up his sleeve. But still Indra said, no, you go, and I'll go riding on the back of my carrier, Airavata, and I'll help you devastate Vrindavan by throwing my thunderbolt weapon upon them. So all the clouds, Sambhataraka cloud, the companion clouds, they start to rain down water on Vrindavan. The water was as thick as the trunk of an elephant. It was coming down in torrents of rain, ice, and everything was being inundated. There was no difference between high land and low land. And therefore everyone, including the cows, taking their calves underneath their bodies, approached Govinda asking for help, for protection, because everyone in times of need naturally turned towards Govinda. Besides that, he caused the problem in the first place. So if he caused the problem, he should solve it also. So Krishna said, don't worry. Indra, he's become disturbed because we didn't worship him. Now I'll show him actually who's supreme. According to the Nectar Devotion, he thought, who is this fool Indra that he's actually trying to destroy Vrindavan? Let me immediately destroy his whole heavenly planet. Then he thought, it's so insignificant anyhow, Indra and his heavenly planet. Why even bother? So then he lifted Govardhan Hill with his little pinky of his left hand and held it there for 7 days and nights. And all the residents of Vrindavan, including the cows and the calves, all took shelter under Govardhan Hill. And simply for 7 days and nights, according to their respective rasa with Krishna, they began to worship him in loving exchanges. And for 7 days and nights, they felt no hunger and thirst. That's why during this lecture, you're not feeling any hunger and thirst, because we're all under Govardhan. Of course, the Govardhan in Vrindavan, they didn't eat, but anyhow, this is a very special Govardhan Hill. So for 7 days and nights, there was no hunger and thirst. They were simply engaged in loving pastimes with Krishna. So at this time, Indra was throwing thunderbolts. They were trying to inundate Vrindavan. But Krishna had sent his Sudarshan Chakra, which was a blazing disc, which dried up all the rain. And in his different incarnations, because Govardhan was being held up by the little thumb of Krishna, the little pinky of Krishna. Although Indra was throwing thunderbolts on it, on Govardhan, Govardhan did not feel any pain at all. It felt like flowers being thrown by Indra. So after some time, Indra noticed that all his endeavor was for naught, that nothing was really disturbing Vrindavan, And he became thunderstruck seeing the wonderful pastime of Krishna holding Govardhan Hill. So therefore he told the Sampavartaka clouds and all the other clouds to cease, and he was a little fearful because he realized he had offended Krishna and the cows. So he went to Brahma and asked Brahma, what should I do? I've just created this big offense. So Brahma said, well, yeah, I mean, it happens sometimes. So I suggest you get a Sarabi cow and you take the Sarabi cow with you, because he may be angry at you, but he can't be angry at the Sarabi cow. Krishna loves cows. So he took a Sarabi cow, and in a secluded place near a Govinda Kund now, he came and worshipped Krishna and offered different types of prayers, asking Krishna to forgive him for his offensive attitude. And after offering the prayers and being forgiven by Krishna, then this particular Sarabi cow bathed Krishna with her milk, and Airavata, Indra's elephant, bathed Krishna from his trunk with the Ganges water. And this way, all the demigods, they worship Krishna, and all the cowboys were looking on, wondering, who are these, all these strange people? What are they doing with Krishna? How are they worshiping him? Look, there's one person, he has four heads, and another one has all these different eyes all over his body. What's going on here? Who are these strange people worshiping Krishna? Anyhow, it was all over, and then the Krishna and the coward boys went back to tending the cows. So in this way, Krishna showed us that if we take shelter of him, not only 5,000 years ago, but even today, then there is no need to worship anyone else. All we do is have to worship Krishna, and ananya chintayanta mam ye jana paripasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yoga shemam vahamiham. For those who are constantly devoted to me, meditating upon my transcendental form, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So this is the aim of the Krishna consciousness movement, to teach us that really, ultimately, there can be no other shelter than Krishna. Of course, we may take shelter of so many things now. We may take shelter of our house against the cold. We may take shelter of our car to get to work. We may take shelter of our family in case we get sick. But ultimately, no matter what shelter we take in this material world, they can't give us the ultimate protection, because ultimately all these shelters are failures at the time of death. The only shelter we have at the time of death to really protect us from the most dangerous type of fear, Krishna says, which is the chance of, after leaving this body, going to a lower species of life and having to wait many millions of lifetimes before we come back to the human form of life and get another opportunity for self-realization and ultimately liberation back to the spiritual world. The only real shelter is when we take shelter of the person who gives everyone shelter, Mahashita ye parapalapantavam mahatpadam punyasho morare bhavambudhira vatsapadam padampadam yadvipadam natesham. The only real person who can give us shelter is Krishna. So in this age, we can take shelter of Krishna by circumambulating Govardhan Hill, because Krishna says if we don't, well, at least Vrindavan, if you were in Vrindavan during Govardhan Puj, and you didn't worship Govardhan and celebrate Govardhan Puj, then Krishna said the snakes on Govardhan will bite you and kill you. So if you don't want to be bitten by snakes on Govardhan, this is a good place to be for right now. In any case, we're taking shelter of Krishna in this age in many different ways, but the ultimate shelter is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if we learn how to take shelter of Krishna, we learn who Krishna is and who we are and how to take shelter of Krishna. Then when we chant Hare Krishna, then one day Krishna will be standing before us in the form of the holy name, and we'll be in ecstatic bliss, just like Govardhan Hill was when Krishna was touching Govardhan with his little finger for 7 days. So, thank you very much. Govardhan Pooj Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.